Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. At least 44 people were killed and another 126 wounded in the Palm Sunday church bombings in Egypt. These two suicide bombings. One hit St. George Cathedral in Tanta. The other one hit St. Mark's Cathedral in Alexandria. St. Mark's, of course, a very prominent church within the Coptic tradition, somewhat similar to bombing St. Peter's within the Catholic tradition. These were in-your-face suicide bombings. Now, there's been a state of emergency declared. I think it's the second time Egypt has declared a state of emergency in the last few years. And we also have Bishop Makarios of Upper Egypt's Minya Governorate and Abu Qorka City announcing earlier today the cancellation of this year's Easter Orthodox celebrations coming up during the vigil Saturday night. The cancellation of celebrations will apply to all churches in the region due to current circumstances the country and the church are witnessing. So the Easter Mass will be limited to prayers only, the statement says. To help us understand in a more graphic and real way the plight of Egyptian Christians, I've asked Raymond Ibrahim to join me. Raymond's been a frequent guest on the program. He's a widely published author, public speaker, a Middle East and Islam specialist. His books include Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, as well as The Al-Qaeda Reader. And Raymond, good to have you with me. Thanks.
Hi, Al. Good to be with you.
Tell us what you know about the source of these bombings and the reaction of Coptic Christians at this point.
Well, I just want to start off quickly by telling you a little interesting anecdote. The night before, on Saturday night,
yes,
it's very relevant. I was reading the early historical chronicles written by the Copts about the Arab invasion of Egypt in the 7th century. And it's just very ironic to me because I came across a line or a paragraph written in these chronicles about how the Arabs had destroyed, actually burned down the St. Mark Cathedral, founded by the evangelist St. Mark in the first century, and where his body is buried. And they burned it and they destroyed it in Alexandria. And of course, it's been built several times since. And it's just ironic to me that the next day, the latest manifestation of the St. Mark Church gets attacked and blown up and so forth.
This is part of a long-standing, I think, people forget that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what I'm trying to allude to, that because you're asking me about the source. Well, the source has been going on for 1,400 years in very identical parallels and mirrors history. So the source is basically, and a lot of people will tell you this when I watch Arabic satellite Egyptian TV, a lot of people, including Copts, will speak well of Sisi. They'll say, yeah, he's doing what he can, et cetera. And, you know, yeah, there is a security issue involved and we need to beef up security. But it always comes down to the same point, which is, but what are we going to do with the real issue, which is that in the mosques of Egypt, in Al-Azhar Madrasa or university, as we call it, in the public schools, a sort of hatred, a discrimination, a contempt is continuously being taught against infidels, which, of course, in Egypt means Copts.
Right.
These are the most obvious non-Muslims there, the Christians. And so that's the ultimate fundamental source. That's why, you know, when a lot of people will tell you, well, ISIS did this, and or whoever did this, because they're doing it for political reasons. They want to foment anger. They want to do this or that. The bottom line is, though, the guy who puts on the bombs and walks into that church and kills himself and kills others has for many, many years, in Egypt, homegrown, been indoctrinated into the belief that just by killing himself and killing these hated people and destroying this disgusting building of worship, I have a video recording of an Egyptian cleric saying that murder and bloodshed are preferable Christian worship. So what Christians do in churches, which is basically celebrate the Trinity, which is the worst thing, it's called shirk in Arabic, because what they're doing is they're associating someone, Christ and the Holy Spirit, with God. That's the worst thing. So that church worship is worse than bloodshed and murder. So the people who go and blow themselves up, that's what they've been taught and indoctrinated in for many years, right inside of Egypt. So that's the first problem, and a lot of people are pointing out, Sisi's not doing anything about that. But in his defense, and in all honesty, what can he do about that? Because if he tries to do something about those sources of teachings, immediately he's branded as an apostate,
right,
who's attacking Islam's fundamental tenets, and then et cetera. And, you know, and then the Muslim Brotherhood narrative and ISIS narrative,
yep,
that he's not a true Muslim grows, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, there's a video taken at the scene that shows one woman screaming, "Where is the government? There is no government." Sisi has promised protection, but again, as you say, the hostility towards infidels, and in this case, as Coptic Christians, are the infidels, runs throughout Islam. And what can he do at this point? I mean, is there? I mean, he's got to face. I mean, what can we do at this point? I mean, this is the nature of Islam, and again, that doesn't mean that every Muslim is looking to destroy Christians.
No.
We're talking about a thought. Let's think in terms of a theological system here, rather than individuals.
Let me, you know, cap it off by telling you and to, you know, to remind everyone, in 2015, Sisi, rather unprecedentedly for a top Arab Muslim leader, stood in front of Al-Azhar and just told them, look, we have a problem with these texts.
Right.
We are becoming a source of trouble for the entire world, a source of terror.
He told
me, he was very frank.
Yep.
And in the front row of that conference was the Grand Imam of Egypt, whose name is Dr. or Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib. Okay. Now, 2 years later, people are still complaining. You know, all these books that teach burning people and apostates and infidels alive and enslaving women and children because they're infidels, they're still being taught in Al-Azhar. You know, and they asked him, the Grand Sheikh that I mentioned, who was sitting in the front row, and they said, well, what about all this, reforming the text and so forth? And on video, he just laughed and just shrugged it off and said, what do you mean reform? Our job as Al-Azhar is not to reform or to change the dialogue. It's to establish the truth.
Yeah.
And his point, of course, is the truth is in all those books, which are so full, which are the same books that ISIS used to justify what they're doing and so forth. And so that's why it's like people like Sisi and other Muslim reformers are just stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
Because if they push the reform button too much, then they become the apostates.
Right, right. This is a real problem because in the United States, people think of separation of church and state. That ends up in their minds, meaning the insulation of religion from public life. And so they simply believe that the rest of the world can't possibly disagree with that, right? I mean,
you're absolutely right. You know, it's this idea. So many people, they just keep projecting their own ways. And so here in the West, as you said, the separation of church and state, I mean, this goes back to Christ himself. You know, he said it. He said that, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God. And so there's that tradition that's been there from the very beginning and with its founder. In Islam, anyone will tell you, I mean, there is this idea is absolutely foreign because Islam is a legalistic law. It's
right.
All about the law. There's no spiritual component. I mean, there's aspects in the Quran and sayings of Muhammad that make clear it doesn't even matter what you believe in your heart. As long as you follow what we want you to do, then you're good. So it's a legal thing. So you can't, and even Al-Azhar, going back to them, the same Sheikh made that point again. He said, you can't have an Islam that you just practice on the side in your home or just in the mosque and then take it out of society because that's not Islam. Islam, the word itself is surrender or submission. Okay, so what is it I'm surrendering or submitting to? You're submitting to the laws of Allah,
right,
as articulated in the Quran and through the mouth of his prophet Muhammad in the Hadith and so forth. And these laws are very detailed, and you know, a lot of it doesn't concern us at all, but there is that small aspect, which is how do you treat the non-Muslim, and it's all hostile.
Yeah. What do you make of Bishop Makarios' decision to cancel liturgy?
I think it's pretty sad, but I think it's necessary. I think it's also a statement to the rest of the world and to Egypt that, you know, a country like Egypt, which was one of the oldest and first Christian countries, now has gotten to the point they can't even celebrate Easter.
Wow. How do people stay in touch with you, Raymond?
Best place, just go to my website, raymondibrahim.com, and there's a contact button, and also on Facebook and
Very
Twitter,
good.
I post my articles and so forth.